You now turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel in chapter 19. We continue in our series, nearing the end of it as we're looking at the life of David, a man after God's own heart. We're coming to that section in which David is returning from exile back into the land after he was forced out by his son Absalom. We'll be looking this evening at verses 16 through 23 as we look at his interaction with Shimei, but for context, we'll begin reading in verse 9 of 2 Samuel in chapter 19, and then we'll read through verse 23. So beginning then in 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 9, let us give attention to the reading of God's holy word. Now all the people were in a dispute throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king saved us from the hand of our enemies. He delivered us from the hand of the Philistines. And now he has fled from the land because of Absalom. But Absalom, who we anointed over us, has died in battle. Now therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing back the king?" So King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, saying, "Speak to the elders of Judah, saying, 'Why are you the last to bring the king back to his house, since the words of all Israel have come to the king, to his very house? You are my brethren, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if you are not commander of the army before me continually, in place of Joab.' So he swayed the hearts of all the men of Judah, just as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word to the king, 'Return, you and all your servants.' Then the king returned and came to the Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to escort the king across the Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite who was from Baharim, hurried and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. There were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over the Jordan before the king. Then a ferry boat went across to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. Now Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. Then he said to the king, 'Do not let my lord impute iniquity to me, or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord the king left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king.' But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, 'Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?' And David said, 'What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be adversaries to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know that today I am king over Israel?' Therefore the king said to Shimei, 'You shall not die.' And the king swore to him." As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. Our God, we ask you now, as we have heard you speak to us in your word, that you would open it to us by your Spirit, that you would give us wisdom. For we know that your word is given to us, written for our instruction, given to us to instruct us as to who you are as our God, who we are as your people, and how we are to come to you through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, as we have seen in the past few weeks, we've come to a place where the king is coming back into the land. He is coming out of that exile in which he had to flee from Absalom. And we're told, as we read even tonight, that in verse 14, he swayed the hearts of all the men of Judah. Remember that Israel had already come to him and they have said, "We made a mistake. We anointed Absalom over us, but we picked the wrong guy. He's dead. He couldn't even defend himself, and he couldn't defend us." But then Judah was the last to come. But David here has swayed the hearts of all the men of Judah, just as the heart of one man. And they have come now. And they have come to send this message to the king, Return, you and all your servants. And they've arrived at the Jordan, and we're told in verse 15 that the king returned after receiving that message, and he came to the Jordan, and that Judah came to Gilgal to go and meet the king and to escort the king across the Jordan. Gilgal is a fitting place for this to happen. It is located between Jericho and the Jordan. And Gilgal has a rich history scripturally. It's where Joshua made his first camp in Canaan as he was leading the people into the promised land. It's where Samuel regularly ministered. It's where Saul had his kingship confirmed. And this was also the site, the crossing site, used by the Israelites under Joshua to go into the promised land. This is the very same Jordan that David had crossed earlier under the cover of night for fear of his life, fleeing from Absalom. And now he comes to this same Jordan to go back across, not under the cover of darkness, but before all of the people. Now, if you remember, when we looked at David and his exile from the land, and as he fled, he encountered many people. Some of them were those who would travel with him, Ittai the Gittite. He met him, and David said, "What are you doing? Why are you coming?" He said, "I'm going to go with you," and he went with him. He met Zadok the priest and Hushai, and he sent them back to Jerusalem. Zadok to send information, Hushai to advise against Ahithophel. He met Ziba, the servant of Saul, who offered him support. And as we're going to see tonight, he met Shimei. Now, Shimei is one who cursed him. And we're going to see this reversal. As David returns to the land, he's going to be meeting individuals. Some he met before. He's going to meet again with Shimei. We'll see that here. He's also going to meet with Ziba and Mephibosheth. He's going to meet with Barzillai. But tonight I want to focus on his meeting, on his interaction with Shimei. And I want you to see the mercy that David shows to him. And as we look at that, I want you to remember that as those who have received mercy, when we truly understand how much mercy we have been shown, we will be ready and willing to show mercy to others. When we truly understand how much mercy we have been shown, undeserved, we'll be willing and ready to show mercy to others. So as we think about this interaction that David has and this mercy that he shows to Shimei, we're going to see that Shimei desperately desires to be pardoned, that he deserves to be punished, but that David is patient with him in showing him mercy. Well, let's look first then at the pardon that Shimei desired. Now, Shimei comes, we're told, and meets the king. Verse 16, Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite who was from Baharim, hurried. Now, he came quickly. He came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. Now, David is on the other side of the Jordan, and there's a ferry boat that's going to go across, and Shimei goes across to meet David on the other side. And we're told that as he crosses, in verse 18, that Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. Shimei is desiring to be pardoned, and he is coming to the king with humility. He falls down before him. He was in a hurry. He hurried, verse 16, and came down with the men of Judah. And then the first thing that he does as he crosses the Jordan is to humble himself before the king. We're told there that he fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. And he didn't do this in a back room somewhere. He did this publicly. We're told that he was there with 1,000 men from Benjamin. Also, Judah was there. Ziba was there. And he goes, and in the presence even of those who had witnessed his original sin, the sin of cursing David, he now publicly humbles himself before the king, and he specifically requests pardon from him. Notice what he says in verse 19. Then he said to the king, "Do not let my lord impute iniquity to me." We learned about that language of imputation earlier. Now, he understood that David had every right to impute, to reckon this to his account because he had done it. He was guilty. He says, "David, please, please do not impute this iniquity to me." And he goes on to say, "Or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord the king left Jerusalem." Do not impute iniquity. Do not remember my sin. He acknowledged that indeed he had sinned. Look at verse 20. For I, your servant, he's making this personal. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. And he also points out that he is backing up his repentance with action. He says, therefore, here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph, that is, all of the house outside of Judah, all of the tribes of Israel, to go down and meet my Lord the King. This is why he was hurrying. I'm going to be the first in line to meet the King. I am going to fall down in his presence. I am going to specifically ask. I'm going to acknowledge my sin. This is what I have done, the wrong that I did on the day that my Lord the King left Jerusalem. And he appeals to the heart of the king. Verse 19, that last line, that the king should take it to heart. In other words, do not let my Lord impute iniquity or remember or take it to heart. Now, on face value, Shimei's repentance is pretty good. It's pretty biblical, isn't it? I mean, think about what he does here. He comes and he humbles himself. He clearly acknowledges his sin. He acknowledges it directly to the person that he sinned against in the presence of the witnesses of that original sin that he had committed. He makes no excuses. He says, look, my actions are backing up my repentance. I am here. Please pardon me. In forgiveness, in seeking forgiveness, there's no ifs, ands, and buts. Forgive me, but. No, it's simply forgive me. I have sinned. And this is how Shimei comes before David. This is a truly the way that we ought to come before the Lord. This is the way that we ought to come and seek the mercy of David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 55, verse 7 instructs us with these words, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's what Scripture calls us to. And Shimei here seems to do it. But did he? Was Shimei's repentance true repentance? In other words, did he have what the New Testament calls a godly sorrow for sin, that heart sorrow, or a worldly sorrow? It's difficult to tell from the language here. Now, later on, as David is dying, he will tell his son Solomon to deal with Shimei. Because Shimei later on showed that his heart was not true. But in this section, it seems as if he is truly repenting. He didn't make any excuses. He humbled himself. He acknowledged his sin. He asked for forgiveness. He even changed his behavior, and he did so publicly. But I wonder, what would Shimei have done if David had lost? What would he have done if David had lost? Remember, he cursed David. Shimei is of the house of Benjamin. He blamed David, and he said, David, you get what you deserve, that your son would usurp the throne because of what you did to Saul. I seriously doubt that if David would have lost, Shimei would have come and humbled himself in this way. Shimei is not in it out of love for David, but out of self-interest. He understands that he deserves to be punished. And I think that there are probably people in the church today that are much like Shimei. What do they look like? They align themselves with the church, that is, the visible church. They align themselves with the church and with the kingdom of God because of what they can get out of the kingdom, not because they love the king. Because what they can get out of the kingdom, not because they love the king. Now, God tells us what the end of those people will be. Jesus tells in the parable of the wheat and tares, of these tares that have grown up. And the question is, should we remove them now? And he says, no, allow them to grow. Because when I come, then I will remove them from my kingdom and cast them into the fire. But it looks as if Shimei was truly sorry for his sin against David. And in light of that, he was appealing to the king's mercy. But Abishai says, not so fast. Not so fast. Abishai is David's nephew, one of the sons of Zeruiah. And he's having none of it. And he insists that Shimei does not deserve mercy. And he brings up, as Shimei desires this pardon, Abishai brings up the punishment that Shimei deserved. If we look at verse 21, and the latter parts of verse 21, we see that Abishai reminds David of what Shimei had done. He had cursed the Lord's anointed. He had cursed the Lord's anointed. The word translated there, anointed, is the Hebrew Messiah. He had cursed the one that God had anointed to be king. Now let's look back for a moment at 2 Samuel chapter 16. We're going back to when David was leaving in exile. And in 2 Samuel chapter 16, we see David coming to Baharim. And let's hear these words. 2 Samuel 16 verse 5. Now when King David came to Baharim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out, cursing continuously as he came. And he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil, because you are a bloodthirsty man. This is the sin for which Shimei is coming and seeking to be forgiven. But notice then in 2 Samuel 16 and verse 9, we have Abishai again speaking up. Then Abishai the son of Zeruiah said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head. And Abishai is really saying the same thing here. The same thing in 2 Samuel 19 and verse 21. Abishai the son of Zeruiah answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this because he cursed the Lord's anointed? Now Abishai has a history of doing this. We just saw that he wanted to put Shimei to death as they were leaving for exile. But if we go back to the time when Saul was pursuing David, if you recall that in 1 Samuel chapter 26, David asked, who is going to go with me down into the camp of Saul? And Abishai says, I will go. And they go down, and in God's providence, they find that they are sleeping. And there is Saul laying there with the spear by his head. And Abishai says, let me kill him. I won't have to strike twice. In other words, I won't miss. And David then, as now, has to stop him and tell him no. No, I will not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. He tells him when they're going into exile, no, I'm not going to allow you to go over and take off his head. In much of the same language, or the type of language that we see in 2 Samuel chapter 19, we see in 2 Samuel chapter 16, the king responding to Abishai, said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? Abishai, as he is prone to do, desires to execute strict justice upon the enemies of God's king. He wanted to put Saul to death. He wanted to put Shimei to death as they were leaving. And now as they're coming back, he wants to put him to death again. And so we have this situation in which Shimei is pleading for pardon, and Abishai is pushing for punishment. Who is David going to listen to? Shimei is pleading for pardon, Abishai is pushing for punishment. And there is where we see the patience of David, the mercy of David that he demonstrated in this situation. You see that in verses 22 and 23. First, we see David demonstrating patience in refusing to listen to Abishai, verse 22. And David said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be adversaries to me today?" And he rebukes Abishai. In fact, he rebukes all of the sons of Zeruiah. It's Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Now, Asahel had died. Joab had put his killer to death. These are David's nephews. He calls them adversaries. The Hebrew word that is translated adversaries is Satan, or Satan, also used as a name for the chief adversary. Jesus would face the same issue with his followers, wouldn't he? He tells Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He tells James and John, "You do not know what spirit you are of." He tells them, "Put away your sword. Put away your sword. This is not why I have come." But here David is dealing with an angry man, with a vengeful spirit, a harsh man. And a lesson to us is not to have much to do with these types of individuals. In fact, the less that we have to do with individuals who are angry, who are revengeful, who are harsh, the better. And those individuals have no place in the leadership of the church. No place. But David reminds Abishai here that he is a merciful king. In verse 22, he says, "Shall any man be put to death today in Israel?" Today is a day of joy. Today is the day that I am returning. He says, "For do I not know that today I am king over Israel?" I am king, not you, Abishai. If you were king, you would have him put to death. And you would probably destroy the kingdom. But I am a king with a heart after God's own heart. In fact, Isaiah 16 and verse 5 says this, "In mercy the throne will be established, and one will sit on it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness." Judgment will come, yes. But the throne will be established in mercy. And we see David demonstrating this patience by pardoning Shimei. Now David gives to Shimei what he had already received from God. Notice what he says to him in verse 23. "Therefore the king said to Shimei, 'You shall not die. You shall not die.'" David received grace from God continually. God anointed him as king. God exalted him above his brothers. God pardoned him for his sin with Bathsheba. God had preserved him now in exile. And David had heard these same words from God, "You shall not die," through Nathan. Remember, Nathan comes to David. Nathan confronts David with his sin. David confesses his sin. And Nathan says, "Thus says the Lord, you shall not die." And here, because he knows what it is to receive that mercy, David's heart had been broken under the weight of his own sin. David understood the truth of Matthew 5:7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Obviously, Abishai's heart had not been softened by his own sin as David's had. And David here is able to offer mercy even to an enemy. And that's what needs to happen to us. Do you find it hard to forgive people? Do you find it hard to show mercy? Well, perhaps your heart has not been broken by your own sin. Perhaps your heart has not been softened. Perhaps you have been hardened because you have not been looking at yourself, but you've been looking at everybody else. You haven't been looking at the plank in your own eye, but you've been a speck hunter out there looking for those little specks in other people. That will only harden your heart, and you will be unable to show mercy as you ought to show mercy. But David knew his own heart. David had plumbed the depths of it. David is the one who prayed, "God, show me my heart. Show me my wickedness." And God had done that. And so he could show what he had been shown, this great mercy. He knew the love of the God who is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. And that is the God you need to know. That is the God who needs to work upon your heart so that you can show mercy to others, because only then will you know the power of God's forgiveness and be truly able to forgive others. And David understood this. And in doing this, David, in his pardoning of Shimei, he demonstrates the heart of Christ our King. We read earlier from 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to remind you of these words that speak of our Savior. 1 Peter 2, verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's what David did here. That's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. That's what we must do who follow him. Now, Shimei came seeking pardon because he had cursed the Lord's anointed. Abishai was right. He had cursed the Lord's anointed, and he deserved to die, and he knew it. Whether or not his repentance was born out of godly sorrow or worldly sorrow, he knew that his life was in danger. And he rushed to meet David to beg for his forgiveness. And again, whether or not his heart was in it, the manner of his repentance was correct. He humbly acknowledged his sin. I have sinned. I have done this thing. My Lord, do not impute iniquity to me, or remember the wrong that your servant has done. He didn't make any excuses. He asked directly for forgiveness. Now, Abishai did not believe that David should give it, and were Abishai on the throne, he would not have given it, but David does give it to him. Because David is a merciful king. Because he understood mercy. Now, we have not sinned as Shimei did. Our sin is far greater. Shimei cursed a man, David. But we have sinned against God himself. That's what David understood, didn't he? Against you and you alone, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. But I want you to remember. Remember this, and may your heart be changed by this truth, that we have a merciful King who is willing and ready to show us mercy. Go to him often. Go to him daily. Go to him in this way with a godly sorrow that is worked in you by the Spirit, and go to him and humble yourself. Humble yourself. Acknowledge your sin without excuse, without delay. I have sinned. Do not impute this iniquity to me. Do not remember the wrong that your servant has done against you. Because when you come to the Lord, you will hear these words from your Savior. You shall not die. Why? Because I have died in your place. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your mercy that you have shown to us. We have sinned greatly against you. There is no excuse. We are sinners, and we deserve not only temporal punishment, but eternal punishment. And yet you are a God who is a God who is full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. And you have demonstrated your mercy to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble us this night. Remind us daily to bring our sins before you with heartfelt confession, with that godly sorrow, and to receive those great and glorious words of pardon. You shall not die. Amen.